Well, good evening and welcome to Wednesday night service. Trust that this week has been good for you so far. It's amazing today. The weather has been a lot cooler. It felt a little bit like fall actually today. Hey, I've got a question for you. If I were to ask you to give me some words that would describe what life has been like for you, what would those words be? Maybe things like restricted or maybe even shortages, like at the early stages of this little pandemic thing when we had the run on toilet paper and water and things like that. Maybe it feels like confined. Maybe it feels a lot of things, frustrating, irritating, distracting. A lot of words we could probably come up with that would fit the scenario. But as a Christian, really the words that would describe our situation as Christians really should be the ones that we find in Scripture. The character traits and the qualities and the conditions that we find laid out for us in the Word of God for New Testament saints. And one of those words that really doesn't probably fit the world's scenario, but certainly fits ours, is the word abundance. You know, I have found in my own life that if I find myself using words to describe my situation that are not the words that you see in Scripture, like joyful and thankful and content and peace and patience Thanksgiving and those kinds of things. But if I find myself using words like frustrating and irritating and annoying and difficult, I'm probably looking at my situation from my own perspective as a human and not my perspective as a child of God. And in John chapter 10, Christ is talking about how he is the good shepherd. It's a beautiful chapter. And that first half is about Christ as the shepherd, the good shepherd. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says this, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." So the thief, the criminal comes to do harm. And that's Satan. Satan comes to do harm. He is a murderer. He is a liar. He's an extorter. He exploits things. And then Jesus says this about himself. He says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." A couple of things in that verse. He says, "I have come that they might have life." The "they" there is in the context of his sheep. Are you one of Christ's sheep this evening? He is the good shepherd. And if we are Christians and we are the sheep of his pasture, we are the sheep of his flock. And he came that we might have life. Eternal life, yes, but also this verse talks about daily life. And he goes on, that they might have it more abundantly. You see, it would have been an amazing act of mercy and grace if God simply freed us from the destiny of hell by virtue of our salvation. If the rest of our life had been lived just struggling and striving and clawing and scratching, but at the end when we died, we went to heaven, that would have been amazing all by itself. But Christ came not just that we would have salvation eternally, but that this life would be a life that was filled with things that go beyond simply our needs. That word "more abundantly" literally means those things which are super added, that make life eminently more blessed and enjoyable. Not just a bare existence. And that's amazing that he came to do that for us. So we have this life that he has ushered in of abundance. And I think sometimes it's possible for us to forget that and begin to live the life not of abundance, but of scarcity. A scarcity of peace and a scarcity of contentment. a scarcity of joy and a scarcity of hope. When in fact, Christ came to give us just the opposite. And I want to spend just a little bit of time this evening with you talking about some of that abundance that God has brought and inviting you and challenging you to recalibrate your perspective, if you need to see the abundance in your life. It is possible to have a pocket full of money and not know it. We've all discovered that $20 in a pocket or a coat pocket or something like that that we didn't even know was there. And what a joy that is. Well, the abundance of God that is brought by Jesus Christ can sometimes, if our focus is in the wrong direction, can be like unrealized goodness right before our eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you and praise you. You are the God of abundance. And God, we are not talking about financial things. We're talking about the things in life that money can't buy and that poverty can't take. We're talking about joy and peace and contentment and hope and mercy and grace and goodness and love. God, all of these things that are just so beautiful and so powerful and are able to lift us beyond the circumstance that we find ourselves in, dear God, and transport us to the very foot of your throne. And so that we, dear Lord, no matter what our circumstance, regardless of our situation, God, that we can respond as children of your kingdom. So I thank you for this time now. In Christ's name, amen. The first thing that I'm reminded of is turn to Romans 15:13, because there is an abundance of several things. And I have a little bit of time to spend with you on some of these. I have just a few things to look at here. An abundance. And I would encourage you to ask yourself the question, do I have an abundance of that? An abundance means you have more than you can even hold. It goes above and beyond. It's like the Bible talks about being shaken down, pressed together, running over. An abundance is more than you can handle. And the idea is that by virtue of an abundance, it can't be contained within us. It is seen by others. It is shared with others. It splashes on other people and it blesses them as well. So the first thing I want to point to is Romans 15:13. Now maybe you find yourself in a situation that you're tempted to let it rob you of your hope. I want to just invite you to consider this verse. It says in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope, which means he is the source of hope. Our God, who is the source, the very wellspring of hope, fill us, his children, with all joy and peace in believing. Why? That ye may abound in hope. Wow. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not just have hope, not just cling to hope, but abound in hope. Have an abundance of hope. Hope that runs out, that runs over, that splashes onto other people. What an amazing hope that is. And that hope in God brings with it joy and peace. But notice there's a key there, in believing. Very, very important that we believe God, that we believe that his promises are true, that we believe what he says that he does and what he will do. He is the God of hope. God is both the origin of hope and the object of our hope. And there is this inner rejoicing, a holy optimism that comes when we abound in hope. And what's really amazing is that hope is really intended to transcend circumstance. That word peace there means undivided, God-focused perspective in believing. The joy and peace given by God should result in an overflow of hope in the believer. And you think about how that shows up in our interactions with others. It is not hard to find somebody who is discouraged right now. It's not hard to find somebody who is fearful right now. It's not hard to find someone who is doubting their own future or the future of even our country right now. But I would just encourage you with this. As Christians, God has, the God of hope, has given us an abundance of hope. And if we allow that to simply flow through us, we can bring hope and perspective to people that have maybe lost their hope. So I want to just really encourage you that way. Another thing that we have that is just so important is an abundance of grace. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't have time to go through every one of the things that we have an abundance of, but these are just a few of them, and they're so compelling to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Know this, I desperately need God's grace. I am so thankful that I don't get everything I deserve. How about you? Imagine if we worked on an economy that had immediate feedback. Every thought we shouldn't have was confronted by the Lord with a chastisement. Every word we shouldn't say was confronted. Aren't you glad that God shows grace? That He works with us gently as His children. And even when we're chastised, it's done with love as the motive and growth as the objective. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That's an important concept for us to understand, because even during this time when many people are challenged, it's a time to be sowing. I have often said that the field we walk in tomorrow is the field that we sowed today. And if we want to walk in a field full of all the goodness and grace and beauty that comes from God, we need to be sowing godly seeds right now. Verse 7 says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So God says, Paul's saying here, give. As God lays it on your heart, give. Don't be afraid to give. Don't hold back to give. Don't begrudgingly give. Don't give it out of duty or responsibility. Do it out of love and thankfulness. And verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God's unmerited favor and supernatural enablement and empowerment. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Some have described grace as holy love on the move and in action. Every aspect of our lives, an abundance of God's working, enabling, and empowering. You see, God is able. God is able. Let's say that one more time. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. That's why part of why Paul, I think, in Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." The results of this abundance of grace, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Stop and let that sink in. Always, that's without exception, having all sufficiency, that means everything we need, in all things, that means every circumstance, that we can abound to every good work. There can be not only an abundance of this abundance of grace that God gives results in us having an abundance of good works for the Lord. What a beautiful combination that is. That's one of the reasons why it's so important that we shouldn't sin, that grace may abound. What a waste of God's grace. And I've just got to tell you that I appreciate God's grace. And I am thankful for His grace and for His mercy and for His forgiveness. But I would much rather have His grace result in an abundance of good works in my life for Him, as opposed to having to lean upon it for forgiveness because of my failure again. But how about you? And I, do we have the perspective, I can do all things through Christ? Because I have all grace abounding toward me. and all sufficiency in all things. You see, the Christian life is an abundant life. We need to make sure that we're looking in the right place and for the right things. The third thing is an abundance of love. You know, we live in a world right now where love seems hard to find. Love and affection, appropriate, healthy, right affection, is hard to find. And even people in the grocery store and in the everyday life are in some degree suspect of each other. Someone's wearing a mask and someone isn't. Someone's social distancing and someone isn't. There is not in the world an abundance of love. But for us as Christians, there is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verses 12 and 13. And this really is my prayer for us as a church, for us as a family. I know that we're not all together, and I understand that some can meet and some can't meet. Some feel like their family dynamics don't allow them to meet. Others feel like we probably shouldn't be meeting yet. And I respect more than anything everyone's prerogative to choose, to make that choice prayerfully. But I want to just point out this verse. We as Christians have the opportunity to have an abundance of love. You see, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Look what it says here in 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 and 13. And the Lord make you and I, his sheep, to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Now stop and let that sink in again. God has the ability to increase and abound our love one toward another and toward all men. That's a beautiful abundance. You know, an abundance of love doesn't worry about running out. An abundance of love isn't afraid to give it out. And an abundance of love isn't afraid to share it because there's always more than you need. And that's what God is able to do in our lives. As a Christian, God can do that. The lost don't have that capacity at all. The things of God are spiritually discerned and they can't know them. But for you and I, God is able to increase and abound in love one toward another in our lives. Verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. What a beautiful place to stand. Unblameable and holy before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul reminds us here that there's going to be a time when we stand before God, when Christ comes back, and all the saints will be gathered together. Increase and abound. That means to grow to an uncontainable level of love, one for another. Love to both increase and to overflow. What an abundance. Jesus made this point very clear in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, when he says, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another. And then he puts this little qualifier in there, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You see, we are good at loving others the way we want to, but Christ says, no, that's not how I want you to love one another. This is a command. I want you to love others like I love you. A perfect love, a sacrificial love, a never-ending love, a never-runs-dry love, a love that goes on and on and on. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Wow, what a powerful command and a powerful statement of God's enabling in our life. That abundance of love that God gives us. What a shame to take an abundance of love and not share it. Not show it, not use it for the Lord. Galatians 5, 13 through 16. Turn over there with me, please. Turn there to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. For brethren, Ye have been called unto liberty. We have this amazing freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You see, we have this liberty, this amazing liberty in Christ. And God calls us to use that liberty not as license, but as a motivation to serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Wow, what a beautiful picture. Again, love as the motivation to serve one another. And he tells us that the key to that is to walk in the Spirit, because the flesh is always going to invite us away from that. And you and I have to become very honest about who we are in the flesh and realize and never underestimate the carnal nature of our flesh and how it will express itself, and be ready always to take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ and to realize that the abundance that God has placed in our life is in an abundance that's intended to be used for His glory. Love, by the way, is the first element of a Spirit-led life. Galatians 5:22, just over a little bit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first one. What a powerful testimony that is. So we have this abundance of love. And the result of abounding love, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. The Lord works through our increasing love to strengthen us and make us firm and solid in our Christian character. The result is a resilient body, as in the church, a grounded body, a solid body, an unshakable body, knit tightly together by an abundance of love for each other. Are you tempted to run out of love? Do you think you're going to run out of love? The source of our love is Jesus Christ. And God has given it to us in abundance. So I just kind of close and wrap this up for the Wednesday night with this. As a Christian, in today's environment, what words would you use to describe your experience? Would it be words like frustrating and constraining and difficult and challenging? Or would it be characterized by words like an abundance of hope and grace and love? Does your abundance of hope, full assurance, translate into a contagious enthusiasm? Does your abundance of grace, God's continual unmerited favor and blessing, translate into I can do all things through Christ attitude? And does your abundance of love translate into actions that edify and build others up in the Lord? Are we, you and I, living the abundant life God has called us to live, or something less? I encourage you, when you have conversations with people about what's going on right now in life and in circumstance, in our country and in our cities, that when they ask you what you think about it, that you remember what God has given to us by virtue of Christ's work on the cross and His resurrection. And just remember that God has called us to live an abundant life, a life way beyond simply existing. Our service for Christ knows no boundaries. And I just challenge you and encourage you to live that life every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you for this time together. Thank you for the time spent in your word. God, this truly is an abundant life. Lord, while some things aren't the same, other things are so full of openness, dear God. Opportunities to talk to people and to witness for you, and dear God, to demonstrate your love. No better time to show grace and love and mercy and all the things, the fruits of the Spirit, all the manifestations of you in our life, dear God, than right now when the world seems kind of dark and afraid. I pray you'd help us to walk, dear Lord, in the Spirit, and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, let us not waste a moment of our redemption on sin and its folly. I thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.